This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to episode 9 of the One Was That a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and tonight I only have one guest with me, and it's a good guest, to be fair, so it's okay. It's Danny Baker. How are we, Danny? You okay?
Do you need any more guests? to be honest, I think I've just dried out from Saturday. Absolutely soaking wet on Saturday. It was. I thought I saw Noah's Ark popping over the away stand during the second half, but I made it back just about. How are you doing, Lee? All right?
Yeah, good. Yeah, it was monsoon season on Saturday, wasn't it, really, when we were looking to play some good football. And it's the Indian summer we're getting late on, isn't it?
So, at least we're getting a summer.
Well, yeah, it's meant to get... It's chilly in the mornings now, and it's dark, which I don't like. I prefer...
Get yourself Michael Fish.
Give me 25 degrees, 24-7. Well, not 24-7, because you need...
Absolutely.
Yeah, but I do like... I do... Well, I'm not getting much of that at the moment, mate, to be fair, so...
Oh, yeah, how is Bubby, all right?
Yeah, he's doing really well, thanks. He's really well. All he does... They're quite boring, newborns. You've got this to come. They're really boring. He literally just eats, sleeps, poos, and does
You think
it,
that
really.
Was boring, mate? You should have seen the first half on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, we'll come on to what we're going to be discussing. The game against Burton, that won't be long because it wasn't very good, to be fair. It wasn't a great game. We are going to then discuss the season so far, what we think of the players so far, the players that come in, and where we think we're going to be after the international break. We do have an international break, which is very rare for us. Is this the first international break we've ever had?
I don't know, but I feel very international. I might get some croissants on the weekend and go full international, I think.
I'm a pan of chocolate man, to be fair. Oh,
stop it.
Or,
I
had my first ever chocolate twist the other day. I've never had one before.
Is that like the thin one with it all crossed over?
Yeah, but you get custard in the middle of it.
You can get what?
You get custard in the middle of a chocolate twist.
Sorry, mate, only in Southend, I think.
Yeah, it must be. Yeah, but it is banging, man. That's why.
I've got caviar in mind on the way to work tomorrow.
That's why I blame that on my way. And then we'll discuss the our international players, past and present. And I've got 10 players that I think should have played for England or their country that they did play for, and they should have played more times. More. Yeah, so we'll discuss
that. I've got a couple of questions if we've got time. Just to put you under for your honest question, put you on the spot.
Well, I put you and Mark under the spot last week, didn't I? So
it's only fair I'll get you back, Lee.
Yeah, it's about time you, as the major wet wipe, got me back on that one.
That's fair. I have to take it after my pronunciation, but, and my Presley scoring 10 goals looks incredibly less likely at the moment, but we'll talk about that.
Well, we'll start with Burton and Presley. I've got to say, I've actually been quite impressed with Presley the last couple of games. Like,
yeah.
He doesn't look like scoring, to be fair, but he is working hard. We've said previously that we don't think he should be playing on his own up front as a 19-year-old coming in from Brentford B. You know the thing with Brentford B? What is the stand? Who are Brentford B playing? Because they're not in a reserve league.
I've got absolutely no idea, but they don't really have like a youth setup. And I presume their thought process, and I would love someone to come and tell us. I presume their thought process was that they're absolutely sick of getting all their players nicked for bugger all. So they've decided that they're going to go and pick the best from Scandinavia. And from what I can see, they've adopted a money ball system where they can pick up players for not very much. I don't know who they're playing at all.
Yeah, when we started the podcast, we discussed this in quite the early episodes regarding should we be looking to get rid of our youth system and go down the Brentford B model, because they were finding players like Marcus Force, Sadback, Sorensen, who played for us, and other players that they've had. Who's the other one? Benrahma, who went to West Ham. Do you know what I mean? Now they're finding them left, right and centre. But I don't know the quality of the players they're going to. And at least I'll go back to the Presley point, is that we're obviously Marcus Ford coming in, he was different gravy. He was one of the best strikers we'll probably ever see play for Wimbledon. And I'm going back to the Kevin Cooper days. But with regards to Presley, he's come in. If they're not playing that good of opposition, I don't know the opposition they're playing. Are they playing friendlies and he scored 25? Are they in the Premier League reserved division as Brentford B? I don't know. And that's the thing.
That'll be some research to do. But I mean, there are people, and again, Facebook was really interested on the way back, on the wet bus on the way back, looking at the sheer split between the guys who are like, do you know what, cutting some slack, he's running socks off, and he's not particularly good enough. I think if we adopt the thought that he is a forward player who brings in other players, and that's his job, then I think he's working okay, and I think he's worked hard on his feet, and he obviously, I don't think he had a particularly impactful game, he did you could call it an assist for the goal. So I think he's worked really hard. I feel really sorry for him, because Saturday, it was the classic, we were trying to get the ball down and play some nice football, and Burton were basically spoiling the game and playing quite physical. And that was the game, really. Their physicality versus our quick-thinking football. And I think it was relatively honours even, without it being particularly spectacular. But I do feel for Presley.
Yeah, it's weird because people might think, why have they started talking about Presley, Brentford B and stuff, and we're not really talking about the game? The first half of the game was absolutely dire. And that's not just a Wimbledon standpoint. I didn't think we were great, but then Burton, were just as awful, to be fair. I didn't think they really were looking into the game at all at half-time. I think we had one shot and 61% possession.
Yeah,
we didn't have any shots on target, and we weren't playing great, to be fair. I think Robbo changed it up at half-time and said, look, let's get out a bit more. And other than a really bad Heitinga error, which, again, some people have crucified him for, I'm not going to crucify him for a mistake, because the way we play football now is that's going to happen. Do you know what I mean? He went to go back to the keeper, and that's, we play in them small little squares and triangles, and then mistakes are going to happen. It was a bad one, but he still had a good game, Heitinga.
I have to say, I agree with you. And I started the year as quite a negative on Heitinga, and I don't apologise for that, because I think it's important to share opinions and share them in the right way. But I think he has particularly improved, and he's definitely, this is the best version of Heitinga I've seen. Just even the way that his general tempo to his game is good compared to what it was. I always call it the Sammy Moore role, who'd get it and always pass horizontal and always pass it horizontal and pass it horizontal, would be slightly behind the player, it'd take us time, would lose momentum. Whereas Heitinga seemed to accelerate a lot more with his set pieces as well. And I'm not going to kill him on it, but the thing I would say, and I mentioned it very briefly in one of the posts, is that you could say, if you want to be crude, that's two goals we have conceded through very clear mistakes out of, say, 12 games. Ideally, we won't have too many more. But if that was a ratio going through, 8 goals in a year is a lot. But you'd like to think that won't be the case. But like you would alluded to, the fact that he's been positive, he's hit some good free kicks and dead balls, means that he's more than worth his place. And I don't mind at all. It's just a shame. Lad at work, Kev, who works with women, he was talking about, why don't you just look to play more forwards. And I think that was something that Robbo spoke a lot about. And hopefully it will be something that won't happen again. But we were also the first half, a lot of indecision between centre-backs, left-back, right-back, keeper. Lots of that sort of shall I, shan't I, which was a bit disappointing. But the first half was one of the worst first halves I've seen in ages, to be honest. And I think everyone was delighted just to get on with the second half, really, which was much better. We weren't particularly good all game. As I said before, it seemed to be us playing football, them sort of trying to be physical, hit us on the break. And I think we were worth the equaliser. I think I felt we really needed it, to be honest. And I think McCormick needed it as well. And yes. Did you see the video of the little kids celebrating it? That was, if anyone's not seen it on Facebook or Twitter, I must try and find out.
We posted it on. Because it is what is football's all about. There's three young kids, and what I love about it is just this live viewing. It hasn't been edited or anything like that. They're just watching the game as they go and as we score. But that's what Ploughlane's doing at the moment. That's why I love Ploughlane so much. You watch when we score, it's just elation straight away, and
which is good, Lee, is that for those parents out there who are not bringing their kids, the kids don't care if it's wet. Those three kids couldn't have cared less if it was hurricane season. They were out there, hood up, parents behind, and they were in that game. What's great about Ploughlane is you've got that space, haven't you, between the front of the seat and the pitch. Kids go forward and can stand there. The stewards kind of read it. We have got this weird thing now where adult fans are sprinting after the players, which I think is quite funny. But don't go on the pitch, guys. Seriously, we don't need to go on the pitch. Go round, get in the mob. We don't need five guys on the pitch every time we score. It would be ridiculous.
See, I'm different to you. I'm on the pitch.
On the pitch
when the Womble score, mate. Doing always.
David Pleat.
Always on the pitch. I've never got onto the pitch. I think it's because I'm quite rotund and I can't also get over one.
You've lost your flexibility, mate. I tried it once.
I got chucked on the pitch at Barrow away when we were 2-0 down and we drew 2-2 and our mate Nick, I went to go down the front and he grabbed me as I went and then he chucked me over the wall.
Hold on, this has led to it. How many pitches have you been on? Like Wimbledon games, I've only been on the pitch, I reckon, once, and that was at home when we beat Fleetwood to stay up.
I was
on the pitch trying to go on with Harry Pell.
Yeah, but do you mean celebrations or do you mean like after?
I mean celebration or.
Yeah, but is that during the game?
Whistle, or legging fight? It on the pitch.
Bradford away?
About how many times you've been on the Don's pitch or on a pitch where we've been playing? You said Barrow away, you've been kicked off.
Barrow, I didn't get kicked out. I thought, shit, I'm getting kicked out here. Barrow's not a place you really want to be getting kicked out at. Because it's quite far. Barrow, Eastleigh?
What were you...
we were in Eastleigh. I know we're going right off subject here, but it's quite...
I like it. It's good. Go on.
I think it was a cup game down in Eastleigh. I got the coach. And we scored literally last minute. And I went mental. And yeah, just... There was a barrier and I just went through it. Kingsmill I've been on. Bradford. Last game.
Did you go Bradford?
Yeah, of course did, mate. Did you not?
Oh, no, I was right next to Rambo when he was giving it that one by the changing rooms.
No, I'm a bit of a sheep, ain't I, really? I saw people on the pitch, thought, I'm having some of that. Now I've got photos.
Accrington.
Brilliant photos.
Did you go on the pitch at Accrington?
Don't start. Get down. I won at Accrington, mate.
Oh, that's awkward.
Yes, one of the best away games probably ever in our history.
Fantastic away
game. My missus broke her finger and had to go and have an operation that day. I couldn't go, so it was all her fault. So she's lucky I'm still with her.
Loved it when they turned the floodlights out. Everyone was like, oh, come on, lads. Seriously, it's an absolute mission to get
I would have been on the pitch at Accrington. Where else? So, like, as I said, if I could have got over a few barriers, I probably would have done it at Plough Lane, but I can't really. I'm just too rotund. Anyway, going back to... We've gone off subject a little bit. We digress. Is that digress or digress?
Digress. Anyway. Pronunciation, yes. Obviously. Yeah. Head of pronunciation.
First half was awful. And then second half, I think where we're struggling at the moment, and these 2 weeks will give us what I think are needed, is that we didn't really have a striker to change up with and bring it up. Do you know what I mean? And we needed like an Ollie Palmer or a who else have we got up front at the moment? I can't even remember now. I think it's only Ollie Palmer and Presley, isn't it?
Zach Robinson's injured and the two lads.
Mboudi. But he's been played more as a winger than a striker. So, yeah, Calvin Andrews, is it Calvin Andrews? What's his name?
Corey.
Corey Andrews. Who's Calvin
Andrews? Andrew, he's played at Rochdale, didn't he?
That's it. Corey Andrews, I'd like to bring him back, but I don't think we can until January.
Same with Cosgrove.
But I think Cosgrove, that's an awful loan for Cosgrove. I know we're going off subject totally again. I think this is something we'll save this and we'll discuss it when we go through our season preview.
Well, I thought it was good to see Chelsea legend Hasselbeck. he's barking about. I think it's actually quite a good point. And I think that stopping the rot, if you like, in the last minute against the team, I thought there were two very ordinary teams on Saturday. I think they're both, though, two teams that shouldn't go down. I think if either of those teams or squads go down, then there'll be a few issues on it. And I think that if you ask us at the beginning of the year, I always think that whatever happens, just stay above a point a game. And that's how I've always looked at it. And if you look at us where we are now, I'm looking at the table literally as we speak, if I can find it.
I'd
like to think we are we're 14th. We've got 13 points from 11. I think had we nicked the Gillingham game, which we probably should have done, that puts you on to 15. I feel mid-table is where we should be and where we are.
Yeah, but you're saying if we had nicked the Gillingham, we didn't. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, we didn't.
So there's no point saying if we had done it, we didn't. We drew a game that we should have won easy. I think what helped us on Saturday is their captain getting injured within 60 seconds.
That was mad.
He's a massive player for them. I do think we needed to win on Saturday because we have a very tough October coming up. Very tough games starting with Sheffield Wednesday in a couple of weeks. Do you know what I mean? We've got a very hard run of games and I do think we needed 3 points. I'm not one of these people who go, oh yeah, great, we got a point to stop the rot. Burton, they were there for the taking. They're not that good. I didn't think they had anything up front either that really troubled us, especially considering we concede. Like, again, if it weren't for a heartache mistake, I don't think we concede that game. But yeah, it is one of the things. And
I think most fans out there, although are frustrated with the latter part of the first quarter of the season, if you like, I think 14th. I'm not too disappointed with where we're at, where we're playing, how we're going about it. We've now probably got 2 weeks. Callum Bailey will be fit. Palmer will be close. Gives us another opportunity. I just wonder if there's tactical international weeks, you know. I just wonder whether someone said, go on, Mabude, on your bike. Xhaka was obviously going to go. And Zanev obviously got called up. I just wonder if there's a... Look, lads, we've got a couple of players injured. You don't fancy going to Andorra, do you?
Yeah, to be fair, we nearly missed... The last international break was nearly called off for us as well, but Mbudi didn't want to go to Turkey.
I don't know where they're playing now, but...
Well, I think Scotland and the 21s are at home.
I wonder whether Beza's been like, is that New Zealand? Zanev's been excellent.
Well, is Zanev? Zanev obviously ain't going to New Zealand to play for him, is he?
No, they're going to Curaçao. Or Curaçao, if you like.
Never heard of it. You just made that country up, haven't you?
Look it up.
Mate, I've got very good geography. I'm worldwide. That's what they call
me. If you're worldwide, you know where Curaçao is then?
I've never heard of Curaçao.
Well, then your geography needs a bit of stepping up, mate.
Is it far?
It's not a pointless answer.
Is it near Magaluf?
You can't get the 407 there. That's all I can tell you.
Is it near Magaluf?
Yeah. They stop off there, apparently.
Yeah. We might not see him for a couple of weeks.
It's a decent schlep. You could say it's definitely out. It's not in zones 1 to 5, so you'd have to pay that extra on top. But
mate, I'm
well done to him though, and he's thoroughly deserved. I don't know about anything about New Zealand keepers, but he is thoroughly deserving of being a full international.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that is he our only full international? Because I know Henry Lawrence has been called up to the under 20 squad,
in the current squad.
Yeah, I think he's our only full international because the others like Dan Soccer being called up to Hungary.
I think Darius might have. Did he get a gig somewhere? I'm sure he's played international football.
Oh, Taylor played Mozarat.
I reckon Darius Charles has, you know. And this is leading us on to our next part, which is almost seamlessly. But let me have a look while I'm...
Well, no, our next part is we're going to be discussing the... If we move on, when we come back, we'll be discussing the season so far and what we think is going to happen after the international break.
I get you.
Right, so we'll come back in a minute.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
Right, so we're back and we're going to be discussing the season so far. some of our new players, what we think of them, are they good enough to be playing for Wimbledon, and where we think we're going to be going after the two-week break. Can we push back up the table, or will we be struggling and heading further south of the table? So, Dan, what do you think so far of the season and the players that have come in so far?
I think we are in exactly where we should be. I don't look at how where we are and how we're playing and worry that we're going to get relegated at the moment. I do think we have shown that we're a bit light in terms of physique and in number. And I think that's something that will be interesting as we go. I think the next month is not far off a bit of a write-off. I think we'll be okay at home for some matches, but Wigan away, I don't expect much out of. Obviously, we'll have the FA Cup at some point, which we'll no doubt get some very, very far away team that we always do in the first round. We've had Fleetwood, and then we had Halifax, didn't we, that year?
Jersey Bulls.
Then we had Jersey Bulls, that will do. But I don't have any issues with where we're at. I think we have to just trust Robbo with what he's doing. We knew we had to take a bit of a punter somewhere in terms of the squad, and we've done that up front. I think Lawrence has been outstanding as a young lad who can play. The thing that's so impressive with him is that not only is he a very good player, is he's a very good player in a number of different positions. And we've not even seen him in midfield yet. So I think he has been very, very good. I think Mabude is the AFC Wimbledon's version of Andy Clark, where he looks absolutely amazing. He's like a firework. He goes absolutely mad. He does a couple of amazing things. And then you're like, oh, okay, that we didn't quite manage that. Or every time he gets the ball, he looks exciting. And he's probably a spin of the coin as to whether we're going to keep the possession or not. But he does look exciting every time we get it, which I think is great. I think George Marsh is good. I don't worry about him coming into the side at all for whenever he plays. So I'm quite happy with how he goes about his business. I think Presley will grow on us eventually. I don't think he's going to be the goal scorer that we wanted, but I think he's a centre forward that. It's such a difficult one, Ole, isn't it? Because with someone like Presley and these guys, they're young guys, so you need to give them time and space. But at the same time, that doesn't help us. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't help us get 3 points on the Saturday, but he's a 19-year-old lad. So, yeah, for experience, it's great. But it doesn't get us 3 points on a Saturday.
No, I agree with everything you said. Like, I'm one of these football fans that once we lose a game, I go into proper meltdown mode, everything's shit. You know what I mean?
I've never noticed that, Lee, to be honest with you.
Very fickle. I will happily admit I'm probably one of the most fickle football fans there is. Like, but when you sit down and you look, I think it was, where did we lose recently? If we won that game, we were like fourth in the league at one point.
Shrewsbury,
yeah, I think.
And we won it up, we were fourth, yeah.
Shrewsbury won them up. Yeah, that's correct, Dan. We were fourth in the league. If we finished and beat Shrewsbury, fourth in the league, everyone's happy, everyone's taking that. We're now 14th in the league, and I think, yeah, we probably are where we should be. I think if we finish around that position this season, everyone would go home happy. With regards to the players coming in, yeah, I'm pretty happy with them. I think, did we need another midfield? Did we really need George Marsh? As much as I think he's brilliant, and I think he had a poor game was against Rotherham when he came in, but to be fair, not many of them set the world alight that game. Did we need George Marsh, or could we have done with another striker? But then it's a tough one because we bought two strikers in Cosgrave, and we've got
I think that's the bigger point. Having a striker and then sacking him straight off on loan, for me, is the weird thing. I think the problem with Marsh and a striker, as you know, is we could have brought another striker in, but in terms of George Marsh, I think the price difference would have priced us out of it. I just wonder whether or not spending a guy who thought was he's too good to let go, but he's not good enough for the squad, so we'll put him on loan, I think's a bit. I don't understand it.
I think with Marsh was a signing with the fact that Hartigan was coming back from Newport. Obviously, Robbo wouldn't have had him go out on loan to Newport, I don't think. I think, obviously, it's helped him as a person. Don't think it helped him football-wise because I don't think he was playing that much. Don't think he was really enjoying his football at Newport. And he's come back and he's a better player, Hartigan. But you didn't know how he was going to react from that. He could have bombed like a lot of people thought he would and a lot of people hoped he would, where actually he's risen and he's got better and Robbo trusts Hartigan now. where George Marsh would have been coming in. As I said, first game of the season, I was like, why are we playing Hartigan instead of Marsh when Marsh is this ex-Spurs? Do you know what I mean? He's got some league experience in him. But Hartigan has 100 games. I think we forget how young Hartigan is, how good he is. But I get your point with regards to Andrews. I think Andrews was, again, it wasn't a Robinson signing.
No, that was that's the thing that people forget. He's a Hodges signing.
It was a Hodges signing. I don't think Robbo was overly keen on him. But he's gone out on loan. He's doing really well at all the shot. You know what I mean? I think he scored 7 goals in 9 games.
Something like that. Yeah, he's done all right. You can't knock him for that.
But I don't think we can get him back until January.
Can't get him back till January.
And that's one I would be looking to bring back. But again, Robbo's very much on the, it has to be right for the team, the morale of the team. And would that bringing him back be, would he come back with a bit of an ego after doing well? Cosgrave, I think that's an absolute awful loan for me. It's not his fault. I don't think it's the club's fault.
What's so bad about that?
The fact that Dover are in total disarray, they're on minus points, they're getting battered every week. Do you know what I mean? As a striker, he scored the other night. He scored on Wednesday or Tuesday night.
Yeah, Andrews set up two, or they played each other, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think they lost 4-1 to Aldershot.
2-1.
Was it 2-1? Yeah. I know Cosgrove scored, but
I think Andrews set up one and they had a worldie. But
for me, I just think it's not a very good loan for him if he's going out and, so they won 2-1 Aldershot and Cosgrove scored. But if you look at the table, Dover on minus 9 points and they've not won a game all season. They've drawn 3 games. Do you know what I mean? So as a striker going there to look to impress, it's a tough one for him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it might make him a better player. And that's probably why Robbo's probably done it and said, look, go develop.
I'll tell you the one who's exciting me, Lee, Bendel. Mate of mine is at Corinthian Casuals. Alfie Bendel apparently is absolutely ripping it up. And he was talking about Rodoni and he said how good Rodoni was, like when he was there at Casuals 2 years ago. And he said, Bendel is not as good a player as Rodoni was, but he's a year behind. And he was like, he is really kicking off quality. And Casuals this year, it's not a surprise that Bendel's been playing well. Curry scored yesterday and they won in the cup. He said it there, them two in particular, he said, have been very impressive.
Elliot Bolton, you mean, not Curry?
Bolton, not Curry. Sorry, you're right, Bolton.
Yeah. Curry's at a totally different club, mate. So
Curry's Friday night, that is.
But I've been to see Wingate and Finchley this year. I went to see him in the FA Cup early rounds against Basel.
Sammy Hatton.
And Sammy Hatton's there, yeah. He's bald as me now. They're all right. They're a struggling team. I did fancy them, though, to put up a bit of a game against Corinthian Casuals. But there's two players in that team who are absolutely shining at me. Elliot Bolton, I know Robbo's a massive fan of him, and he said he's going to develop later because he is smaller than you want from your midfield player. But I reckon he could one day replace Woodyard. And this Alfie Bendel, who's meant to be absolute mustard, 16 years old, he's absolutely bossy. I think he set one up yesterday. Bolton scored. And he's doing.
I'm raving about him.
And I think Curry's doing well at. I don't know where he's at Eastbourne. I think Curry's doing well at Eastbourne. I think I did hear that unfortunately Frimpong and what's the other kid at Leatherhead are struggling a little bit.
Okay. Managers. What do you mean Merston?
No, they're at Leather.
Hersey's at Merston, isn't he? He's doing.
Okay. Yeah, we got two at Leatherhead. I don't think they're doing overly great.
Okay.
And David Fisher's doing well at Hampton. And again, yeah. I think David Fisher is going to struggle, unfortunately, because we need that. We've got Corey Andrews, Cosgrave, and then Fisher. Fisher's not going to be ever as big as Palmer.
No.
And he's not going to be, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to be as big as President. You always need a big lump, don't you? But yeah, I think it's good that our youth players are out on loan. And this is one thing I think Robbo's done well. Well, not one thing that he's done well. He's doing many things well, to be fair, Robbo and his team.
You can't knock him on the youth player thing at all.
Well, they were just getting stagnated in our team. They were never getting near the first team. Under Ardley as well, under Wally and under... Well, Wally came in and you thought, here we go, he got him involved for the trips abroad. But then once he got to the season, he didn't bring him into play. Where Robbo trusts him, he's had him for years. And that's the thing. And some of them will rise and make it, and some of them won't. But so, what I was going to say to you, Dan, what's your feelings on Robbo, Tuvey, and the backroom staff at the moment?
Good. I think you have to trust the. You have to. It sounds a bit corny, but you have to trust the process. And I think you have to just back. I back the manager completely. And yes, there are moments. There's less. What are you doing? Moments, if that makes sense. Like, well, sometimes we would watch it always used to mind when England, when always we used to play Heskey, we're like, why are we keeping playing this lad? Like, everyone is saying to him, why are we playing him? We would have that with the trotter and the sores, the Barkle, and we had it lots of times under different managers. But with Robbo, I don't often see many, why is this happening? Where, what are you doing type thing? It seems much more sort of common sense and quite obvious. I think he's been good. I think, I don't know much about Tuber and that, but if Robbo backs him, then that's good. I like the idea of the set piece coach. He's obviously come in and done something. Okay. And again, I presume the guy from Chelsea, the guy coming in until January, I presume is a decent shout because he knows some of the players. And I reckon that was almost certainly part of a, you can have Lawrence, but you can, and then, but we would obviously pitch to have him. So I think it's good. I think it's quite refreshing to have it. I'm quite positive with where our management is. They do speak very honestly. And I think as fans, that's quite easy to like. So it's quite good to have our managers talking honestly and telling us what's going on. So I've got all faith in Robbo. I've got no, I don't doubt that for a second.
No, I agree. I agree with what you said there. The only problem I've got with is having too many cooks kind of thing. So we've got so many coaches. We've got coaches for everything now. We've got a substitution coach, a set-piece coach, a throwing coach, you know what I mean? And when does it come down to Robbo then on any mistake? As I said, last week when we lost to Shrewsbury, lost to Rotherham, lost to Arsenal, and then we lost, who did we lose before to Arsenal? We lost Plymouth. And I said that, for me, it fell to Robbo because we lost him four games and there's things that he could have done differently and stuff. But I love his honesty. As you said, I think it's brilliant when he comes out and he says it's not good enough, or we've had an honest chat. And people go, well, we're only like 8-9 games into the season. Why are we having honest chats? That's how it should be. And it all walks of life. You should be having an honest chat. Do you know what I mean? If we're not doing a good enough job on the podcast, I expect people to tell us, look, I think that's shit, or your content's rubbish here, or this is not very good. You know what I mean? And I'd expect that. And I said, I think Robbo, I like Rob too. I think I've known Rob for many, many years. I think he's a great, great bloke. Again, I don't know much about him as a coach, but he's obviously doing something right. And he's coached the kids. He's coached all the way up. So he's worked hard to get in that position. It's not like he's just come in as Robbo's mate. He's been at the club for years and coached from under 12s up to the under 18s, the reserves and the first team. And again, I like that kind of thing that Wimbledon do, is that if you work hard, you'll get an opportunity where, you know what I mean, Robbo nearly got overlooked for the job previously. For Wimbledon legend, and it worked out. We stayed up, but now, as I think, there is a process in place. And as you said, it sounds like he loves that saying, but you can see it. You can see we want to get Alfie Bendall into the first team in a couple of years, an 18-year-old midfielder who's going to go on and make us couple of million pounds.
I think the one thing that he desperately needs from all of us, and it is so difficult, but he does need our patience. And he does need us to understand long term. And I'm looking at you here, but in general, we all have to, as fans, understand that this year's been exciting, but we're going to get the fruits of our labour.
Yeah, I agree. And Robbo, when he talks on the interviews after games, and he says there's he gets the fans who care about results. To be fair, that is mainly me. I do care about results. I don't want to see us getting beat 1-0 and 0-1. But I can kind of see where we're coming from. And I'm looking at the team now and I'm looking and thinking, this is exciting. I do want to watch Wimbledon every week. Where previously, last season, before Robbo came in, I didn't. And I think a lot of people were the same. People were finding excuses not to go and watch Wimbledon. Especially, well, you couldn't go watch the games, but it was on TV. So, yeah, I would go shopping with the missus. Do you know what I mean? I am going to go fishing. I am going to do this or that and stuff instead of watching Wimbledon.
You can have your critiques or whatever, but there hasn't been a more pleasing Wimbledon team to watch than this one. I mean, let's be honest, we've had
since the playoff winning team, which we talked about before.
But even that team had a similar to this guys. They got to December and they were okay, it's nothing special, and then they just clicked and they started going all guns barrel, and we actually started attacking. I feel that this is a group of guys who are going to play football in a positive, entertaining way. And whether we're win, losing or drawing it, by and large, we're going to see us playing a more attractive possession-based game of football with us having the ball more than others, which is good.
Do you think because we've been so spoiled as Wimbledon fans over the years, we've never been relegated, I don't think, as AFC Wimbledon.
No.
we've only ever won things.
Yeah.
We've only ever been promoted.
Yeah.
Do you think when we got into League One, obviously we've had it's been tough because we have been near relegation a couple of times.
We could
do with a mid-table finish in League One. But have we got a spot? Do we forget that who is in this league? You look at the league and you're looking at Ipswiches and Charlton's who are struggling.
Sunderland.
We got Portsmouth, Sunderland's. We're playing Sheffield Wednesday in a couple of weeks. We played Bolton. Do you know what I mean? Who were in League Two a couple of seasons ago who got promoted. Do you know what I mean? We're playing big teams every week, pretty much. We get the Burtons, the Cambridges, the Morecambes and stuff, which were always Accringtons, like us, who always punch above their weight. But this is a tough old division. It really, we're going to play in 10 grand a week or whatever it is for a striker they got from Sunderland, even though they had no money a couple of years, like a year ago.
League One is a great league. And I'll be honest, when Wimbledon did their thing and AFC Wimbledon did their thing, I genuinely didn't believe we'd get in the Football League. Hand on heart, I thought, this is great. And it could be a fad of some sort. I felt there was a lot of energy behind it. And I thought, we'll get some momentum and we'll get to Ryman, Prem, and then we'll get Conference South. And then I thought it'd get tricky. And then we got in the Conference and I thought, okay, well, this is us. And then that first year in the Conference, we were up quite high up. And I thought, I genuinely don't believe, Lee, and I'll be honest here, if we were to do our story again 15 years later, so we are now in the Conference, I don't think we make the jump. I think there'll be people like Wigan, and I think that the game has moved so quickly that I don't feel, hand on heart, that we would go into the Football League as quickly as we did then.
No, I agree. And I think football is a wave sometimes. And once you get on that wave, it's hard to not, you know what I mean? When we got promoted from the Conference to the Football League, we were on a wave. We were at the top of that wave and no one was taking us off that wave. Do you know what I mean? When we beat Plymouth, everyone knew it. And I think we have been riding a wave since we started, pretty much. And everything has gone our way. When we first started and I looked at it, I thought the Conference was our Premier League. Because we could then travel across the country. You play your big teams as well. Like now, if you look at the Conference now, you've got Wrexhams who are spending big money. Salfords have come out of it, again, spending huge amounts of money. You've got your little teams in there, like your Wilsters and stuff.
We had Luton at the time. We had Luton
in our one. Luton, mad. You think they're an established Championship team now? And they always would be. They're a huge club. But, yeah, I'm pretty happy. I think the international breaks could do us a huge favour. I'm glad we have got it. I know it's no football and I'd be gagging to watch football on Saturday, but I think we needed it. It means that Presley's and players like that can have a rest. Assel needs a rest. I think we forget, he's 19, Ayab Assel. 19 years old and he's just set the world on fire for us at the moment.
Yeah.
And he needs a rest.
I'm amazed he hasn't got a gig, you know. I'm amazed that Albania and the 21s haven't had a look at him. And he's
He's Moroccan, that's why.
Okay. Oh, there you are, Moroccan then. And I'm amazed that Presley isn't playing under 21s or under 19 Scotland, but Mabude is. I'm quite surprised about that. Mabude is being called up. I'm surprised that Presley hasn't been, considering he scored a lot of goals.
Yeah, but is he Scottish?
Who, Presley?
Well, I know his dad was, but...
Yeah, we must have. His dad's Scottish, and he's obviously going to be Scottish as well. I'm sure he's played Scotland under 19s or something like that. I'm certain.
You sure?
No, I'm not sure, obviously. Obviously, I haven't done my full research, but I thought that he would have quite possibly played some sort of youth-level football, in my opinion. Yeah, he was capped by Scotland at under-16 and under-17 level.
You're right, yeah.
Mabude is playing for the
under-19. Yeah, but you've got to remember that Mabude played in Scotland. So that's a totally, totally different reason. You think he played it for Glasgow?
Yeah, but he's not now, though, is he?
No, but he might have been
for under-17s, 18s, and he's playing for under-19s now.
But you think he might have been established as a Scotland under-21 player, gone to Watford? Do you know what I mean? They know what he can do. It's better than calling up someone they don't know about and he's only been playing for Brentford B. It's one of the discussions we were talking about earlier. But yeah, Ayab Assel, I didn't even know he's gone from Morocco to Albanian in the space of a week as well.
It can happen, mate.
My mate's just got a Moroccan flag with AA on it and he knows he's going to get that changed.
Just one flight. If you want to get it, stay in Europe, just get on an easy jet.
He's going to have to get that changed.
Well,
for me, going back to our discussion, for me, I think Ayab Assel, player of the year by country mile at the moment.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to find anybody better at the moment. And I think that he is going to be the one, I think him and Woodyard and Hartigan are the three that are relatively clear, followed in the pack by someone like Zanev and maybe Nightingale.
What? You're winding me up now. You're forgetting one big player there as well.
Who am I forgetting? Then?
Henry Lawrence.
Well, I don't think he's been as influential as Asau and Woodyard and Hartigan.
I'd put him below Woodyard. I'd put him in the same bracket as Hartigan.
The first player is Asau.
Yeah,
Woodyard. And then the second player you're picking is?
Woodyard.
And then the third player you're picking is?
Henry Lawrence.
Henry Lawrence, okay. Well, I would have gone...
I think he's an absolute Asau, baller, mate.
Hartigan, Woodyard, and then I would go for Lawrence.
Well, no, because you already said Zanev. You already said Zanev and someone else.
Well, I said Zanev and I'd say Lawrence in the second tier of my selection process.
Young player of the year is Henry Lawrence by country mile at the moment as well. I think
over Asau, yeah?
Well, Asau's going to get player of the year, not young
but
player.
He's going to get both, yeah? There's no rule against it.
Well, I don't like one player. But what you're saying is the awards.
You're saying that Asau is player of the year, but he's not going to be player of the year, even though he's probably the same age as Henry Lawrence.
Yeah, but it's, you know what I mean.
I'm just trying to clarify that.
What do we do with Luke McCormick?
Just keep playing him. Playing him in the middle. He was definitely okay. He, no matter what's happening, though, he is definitely drifting to the left. So whatever's going on, he is definitely... He started in the middle. When the game started the other day, they were clearly had Rodoni on one side, Asau on the other, McCormick in the middle. And throughout that game, he was drifting to the left. He never pops up on the right, McCormick. He's always on the left or in the middle. So there's obviously something that they're talking about, McCormick, you're going to play in this area, which... I don't know if it suits him or not, but that's what he's currently doing.
Because we all think he's the number he should be playing behind the striker. But we don't know where he's played before for Chelsea or what he's done for Bristol Rovers. Did he play as that role for Bristol Rovers? Because he apparently was mustered at Bristol Rovers. But none of us know because none of us watched him play regularly. We just heard, saw his goals, heard that he was playing really well. Bristol Rovers fans loved him and wanted him back. I just don't know if that's his position then, if he is a left with midfielder, left wing. I don't think he is, but it's just weird how we keep playing a player who could really influence games, playing behind a striker, and we're putting him on the left. Well, is that to get Ayo Basile into the games? Because we don't want him as a winger.
But for the hype and for the press and for everything that we've heard about, be honest, McCormick hasn't been as influential a player as we probably thought he would be. Would that be fair? And that's not his fault, but that's a reality. He scored a goal Saturday, scored at Doncaster. He isn't as influential in the game as Asau is, as probably Rodoni is, as obviously maybe Hartigan or even Woodyard. I think McCormick has been, I wouldn't even say hit and miss. For me, he's just been a solid seven every week. Without drifting higher than that.
I think this could sound harsh, but I think he's probably the new signing, the player that has probably disappointed most fans. Not because he's not trying, not because he don't get it, just because we expected probably more from him, from the hype that we got when we signed him and what we heard about it that he'd done last season in this division. Yeah. Bristol Rovers did go down, though, to be fair, so maybe he wasn't that good and they just were rubbish and he was the shining light. But yeah, I think out of all the players, if you look at our thing, I don't think Presley set the world alight, but I can see what people see in him. But yeah, McCormick with the hype, I expected him to be getting a few goals, few assists.
Well, yeah, that's the thing though. He has scored a couple of goals.
He scored two goals,
assists, which is
I expected more.
What, in 11 games?
Yeah.
How many goals should he score in a year? 10.
10 to 15.
Okay, he's on that. He's not far off that now.
Remember, we've not got Piggott this year, who's got 25 goals for us. So we need to share the goals around. Presley's not going to get 10 this year.
No.
Palmer, you'd hope he would, but that ain't going to happen now, I don't think, with his...
The better question is the aggregate. How are we getting on with the aggregate? Now, Piggott would have scored, mid-20s, say, last year, right?
Scored 25, I think, last year.
25, okay. And Asau scored last year, so we take him out of the equation. So we're looking at Presley, McCormick... Rodoni
and Boudy
need to equal minimum Piggott's goals. Mabudi's got one?
Yep.
Two. Bolton. Don't count the cup. Take the cup out of it.
Bolton.
Mabudi's got one. Presley's got one.
One, yeah, because he scored two in a cup.
Rodoni's got two. Oxford yep. 2?
Yep. Who scored at Morecambe? Hartigan.
Asal.
Asal. Chislett.
One other.
Can't remember now. But it won't.
But I'm just interested.
How many Palmer got? He ain't scored, has he?
No, he's got one goal all season. He scored the opening goal at Gillingham.
One goal, yeah. So,
he's got one. So if you think about
McCormick's got two.
So we're talking about trying to match minimum Piggott's goals, taking away the guys who played last year, which is Palmer and Asau a little bit. We're probably not far away from his goals. He's obviously popped up with goals from defenders, but I think they're always a bonus. I think you've got to look at the front four needs to equal Piggott as a minimum.
Yeah, we didn't just score 25 goals last year. We scored more, and that was coming from the players like Will always gets you two or three goals a season in a game. Yeah. Well, not they always do, but you expect five goals from at least your back four during the season. So, but yeah, no, I get what you mean. So when we come back from the international break, do you fancy us to kick up? Do you think we'll go up the league, or do you think we are going to struggle?
I think we're going to have a tricky couple of games. We've obviously got Sheffield Wednesday at home, which I think we might get a point. We've obviously got Wigan away. We've got Cambridge away. And we've got the FA Cup. So for me, I would take three draws and a win in the FA Cup. I think I would take 3 points out of nine. I think, bearing in mind, Wigan should run away with this league. They've been bossing it. So take them. I don't think there's any point in thinking that if we nick anything there, it'll be a result. Sheffield Wednesday and Cambridge, I'd like to think we might nick one win out of two.
I can see 4 points from the three games.
Okay.
I can see us getting a point against Wednesday. They're not that good. They're not that great. They've got people like Barry Bannon still who are too good for League One. But on our day, we can beat anyone. I fancy a draw. Wigan, it's a tough game to go to, I think. I can't see us winning that one. But Cambridge is the one we need to look at and think, we've got to beat them.
And in between we've got Lincoln away.
Yeah, again, that's another tough one. Again,
that's rough, isn't it?
Two away games, I think we'd have to be looking.
I'd be like 6 points, I think, out of them 12. I'd take four, I think.
I'd take four or five points out of them four. And then the FA Cup, I think we need a good FA Cup run with the money that it could bring in. If we can get Chelsea away or something like that, we could bring in, we see how much money we can make out of Arsenal. The FA Cup would be a totally different story.
So. I think we'll be, like I said, I think I don't want to get too wrapped up with October, because October could be quite lively, and that won't dictate our season. But I think we've got to get to Christmas and reassess. And I think if we get to Christmas and we're not, I think if we get to Christmas and we're roughly 6 points ahead of the drop, I'll be over the moon.
Yep.
Whether we will be, I don't know. And it means that when we get to January, we can have a look. Because there are some good players who are unattached now who haven't got a club who I think would do a really good job. But I think we've got to get to Christmas, and we've got to try and get our players fit and have a really good look and see what we've got.
I agree. And before we move on, if you're going to mark us out of 10 so far, what are you giving us?
7.5.
I had seven. Seven.
Yeah,
seven.
I think the players have been decent. We've enjoyed watching football. It's great to be back at Plough Lane. We've worked hard. I think the lads have clearly got a good idea of what we're doing. We've been unlucky in a few little games. We've had a couple of silly little mistakes. We are Wimbledon. That's exactly what we do. And no, I think seven and a half, I think, is pretty good.
I agree. I think there's some games we should have won, like Gillingham. And then there's games that I thought we wouldn't win, and we did. And then you've had comebacks against Bolton, Morecambe. You know what I mean? Show us that. What I like this season is the players care. The players will be fighting every minute, and that's the difference, I think, this year. And as you said, we've got Plough Lane. It's good to go watch football. Everyone wants to get back to Plough Lane as soon as the game finishes. They don't want to go home.
It'd be good to see what other people think. I mean, if you get the chance, guys, and you're listening, and thanks for listening if you are, and you get the chance to put down what you reckon out of 10 for where we're at, I'd love to see how I can't imagine many under five, but I'll be interested to see whether we're watching the same games or not.
No, I agree. I was going to say seven. I think, as much as I moan about football, but I don't like losing. So every time we lose, it is literally toys at the pram.
And you are looking forward to the next game, aren't you? Let's be honest. We all are.
The weekend's ruined. Great. But I can't wait for Tuesday to watch the next game. But that's football for you, isn't it? Right, we'll move on. And when we come back, because it is the international break, we're going to be discussing players that should have played either for England or should have played more times for their clubs. Country, sorry.
Correct.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans, for the fans.
Right, we're back. And as said previously, it is International Weekend. And this is something new to us, an International Weekend.
It's International Weekend, we should say hola or bienvenue. Yeah.
Or bonjour.
Any foreign language stuff for you, Lee?
Guten Tag. Sprechen Sie English?
That is.
Or
is that what got you a lovely lady? Is it your German?
Or you just put an O on the end of anything. So if you're like, say you're in Beerio. A Spanish bar, you go Biro, 2 O, Biro, please O. And it just works. Any you could go Germany, go to Biro. I don't know why I'm putting that accent on. I'm like Joey Barton when he played in France. Yeah. But anyway.
I wonder if it's a country that it didn't work.
We'll get loads of complaints about that now.
If you're in Europe, you said to Biro in Uzbekistan, whether you'd get the
wanted. I reckon you would.
If anyone's out there, test it out.
Uzbekistani Wombles.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we want to hear from.
We want to hear from you.
A mad one, right? This is, again, we're not talking about international football, but do you know there's a Russian football Wimbledon in Russia? And they play games against
Wimbledon. What do you mean? Like a fans group?
Well, no, they're not really, they don't support Wimbledon. They just play under the name, the monarchy of Wimbledon. They've got a kit with the Wimbledon badge on it, and they're called AFC Wimbledon Russia. They play against Charlton Russia and Portsmouth Russia and all. I think it's just like a power league, but they have to be caught and they play in the Wimbledon kits and everything.
God.
And it's in Russia. Yeah, I wanted to go out there.
What's their kit?
Huh?
What spot? We should have a stag do and go out there and play.
Yeah, mate, it's mad. I couldn't believe it. They're on Instagram, I think. Wimbledon Russia. Well, yeah, mad. But anyway, let's get back to the subject at hand. And as I said, I've got 10 players down. Some people might have more, or they might think these players probably don't deserve to play for England. But these, when I was growing up, I thought these players should have played more games for their country.
Internationally.
So I'll start us with Big John Fash.
Fash the Bash.
He played two games for England. That was it.
Did he play for Nigeria? Because there was always that rumour, because he was Nigerian, that he might have gone off and, like, Stephen Caulker, he was England for a game. He's now going to play for Sierra Leone. You've got Wilfred Zaha doing, like, the Ivory Coast. Don't know whether Fash went on to play Nigeria, but I know there's always that talk about
him. No, he didn't. Okay. He played two games for England, but, yeah, he never played. And I think he should have played more games for England. Again, you look at the competition you're probably up against at the time, and you probably think, well, yeah, some of the strikers that England had at that time were unbelievable. But I just thought John Fashanu just bullied teams back in the day. And I think because of who he was, do you know what I mean? He's got 107 goals in 276 games for England, for Wimbledon, and never, he played two games for England.
And
that was in 1989.
Wasn't it? That was the problem with that team.
I think that was the thing. Because of who he was, I think that's the reason why he didn't play more games for England. I think because he had his manners and the way he is about and the way he goes about stuff and the way he talks and stuff like that, people just didn't fancy him. He probably was too big of a character to then put into an England
set. That generation of Wimbledon fan, they were well unlucky. You think about from like 86 to 91, can't play in Europe. We probably would have qualified top six,
yep.
Won the FA Cup. I mean, they had a decent squad who probably would have been Europa League now. If West Ham playing Europa League, we would have done top six. They were well unlucky.
You think we won it?
Side.
Won the
Terry
FA Cup.
Phelan, Keith Curl.
Won the FA Cup, didn't qualify for Europe.
Go on.
When we won the FA Cup, we didn't qualify for Europe.
But that was because England teams were banned.
But that's what I mean. But that's because, England teams at that time were banned. And I think Wimbledon at that time would have gone on and bullied some of these teams. The Barcelonas and the AC Milans and things like that wouldn't have fancied playing Wimbledon. Not a Plough Lane on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night.
Imagine how funny it would have been. Dave Besson just whacking it. But also, on a more serious note, had we have won that FA Cup and had Europe, whether a lot of them players, because a lot of them left relatively quickly after, Vinny didn't last long. Dave Besson went. Wisey went. Be fascinated to know how many of them would have stayed on had we had that proper European football. But anyway, well,
I don't think they would have stayed on because of the clubs they went to.
What, think, the
why is he went to
Chelsea? Weren't Europe. Chelsea weren't big. Leeds were a big club, but they weren't at that time probably near top where we were until they obviously Wilkinson took over with Cantona. But yeah, anyway.
You mentioned another one. He never played for England while he was at Wimbledon. Big Dave Besson.
Yeah.
He played for the England B team between 88 and 89. That's when he might have played for the England B team when he was just finished it. No, he left Wimbledon
he
in 88 to go
to 1990.
Yeah, he went to Newcastle, then he went to Chelsea. It's only really when he was at Chelsea that he started getting in the England team. But when he was at Wimbledon, he never got in the England team, and he played England B 7 games, and England he only played 2 games, and he was probably one of the best keepers around at that time, I think. But again, it's mad to me that he played for some massive club like Chelsea. He didn't get a look in at Wimbledon, just as he was then moved to Newcastle.
That died off, didn't it? England B.
Yes.
I remember. Do you remember Dean Holt have played?
Well, you keep just taking the players up.
You're just so insistently.
Taking players off my list, but yeah, again, another one. Yeah, Ben, who was it? Sorry, you just said Dean Holdsworth. He had one game for England B. I think England B came to an end when Chris Sutton said, "I ain't playing for England B." It's either England or nothing, really. And I think that's died off. But again, you just said one straight away.
I don't think he was quite England, but good player though.
Who, Dean Holdsworth?
Yeah, not England, mate. Come on.
He played for England. When he was with us, it was England B, sorry. He played one game, scored one goal in 1994. I think he should have got more caps. But again, you look at that time of year, 1994, it was in the England team.
That's Les Ferdinand, that's Robbie Fowler.
Robbie Fowler.
Or Michael Owen.
Talking about a player that didn't play for England, I know he didn't play for Wimbledon, but Robbie Fowler, how did he not get many caps for England, man?
Matt Letizia, Ian Wright.
Matt Letizia, again, you're picking people that didn't ever play for England.
Who?
Robbie Fowler and Matt Letizia.
They did play for England.
They literally got hardly any caps. If you but look
they,
at
they factually, they definitely did play.
Yeah, but not a lot.
No, I agree. And Ian Wright didn't play a huge amount. Andy Cole, another one around.
You think
that
you
time
had Teddy Sheringham? Yeah, you're looking at Matt Letizia played 8 games for England, mate. That's shocking for a player of his standard.
But I think he was in the Wimbledon bracket of didn't play many games due to the fact of the club. Because we weren't winning loads of trophies. I think they were like, right, we'll see you later.
But for me, Dean Holdsworth should be playing more games.
Right, come on, give me some more names.
Yeah, well, Fowler only played 26 games for England. That's a travesty. He was unreal. But I still think Dean Holdsworth, he should have been playing more games. He played one England B international, which, again, for me, is an absolute travesty. Because he was scoring goals for fun at that time. But again, you're coming up against people that are mustard like Shearers and things like that. So a big one for me that never got one cap for England. And again, you look at the competition he was coming up against. He was looking at his size. You're looking at he probably wasn't. He ain't a big centre back, but Chris Perry did not play for England. Did not have an international
Jolly,
cap.
We're merry. We love our Chrissy Perry.
Mate, he was unreal. He didn't get a look in again, but because. Everyone thought, when he moved from Wimbledon, he would get caps, but he didn't. But again, if you're coming up against Rio Ferdinand, Sol Campbell's, John Terry's, Tony Adams at the time, I think, was still playing for England.
I think the thing with him, A, was who he was playing for, but also, I just don't think he was good enough on the ball. I think that might have been the reason why. But watching him every week, he was sensational. He was absolute. No one beat him in the air.
Nah, and you watch against some of the teams like Man U and Arsenal's and Chelsea's, and it just absolutely just take.
Well, like I said to you earlier, how Steve Howie in the Newcastle team, which deliberately had an absolutely pants defensive back lineup, how Steve Howie went to Euro 96 and they didn't even look at Perry. That's the scary bit. You think, right, there has been some Carlton Palmers who have played centre field. I know, like, but I mean, come on, it's Carlton Palmer, mate.
What is scary? You calling him Steve Howie when it was Steve. How?
No, Steve Howie.
Not even that. Steve Howe.
How? He's spelled H-O-W-E-Y. Steve Howie.
No.
For Newcastle.
No.
You're Steve going Howe. Mad. You've lost the plot, mate. You've had no sleep. Look, it's Steve Howie.
Steve Howe. Everyone calls him Steve Howe. Yeah, that was his nickname, we'll say it. Steve Howe.
No, his name is Steve Howie.
Well, I might have had one there. I don't know. Right. Anyway, let's move on because Chris Perry, 100%.
Norman Howie is an English former footballer who played as a centre back for the England national team, and he played four games.
See, that's Steve four Howie. More.
Oh, Chris Howie, the lads, man.
I'd have any Wimbledon fan say that Chris Perry should not have played for. He should have definitely played for England. Right. So move on again. Another one who I didn't actually know was English. I thought he was actually Scottish. Another centre-back who I thought raved about, and he was down at Plough Lane recently, was Dean Blackwell. I thought Dean Blackwell was mustard.
Come on.
He played England under 21, but I would have had him in the England squad.
No, Lee, no.
You're not having that
one? No, Dean Blackwell. You can't have Dean Blackwell in the England squad. Come on, people are going to turn off now.
Right, you're saying no to Dean White then?
No, absolutely not.
All right, what about this next one then? Managed Wimbledon. And I know people say, well, he was going up against Beckham and people like that on the right wing, but Neil Audley.
No.
You're not having Neil Audley in the England squad?
Nowhere near it, mate.
Mate, at that time, he was playing under 21. He played 10 games at under 21 level. Yeah, I think he should have at least got a cap at England level. There was one time when he was.
Why don't we just
what about a goal England? When he? No, no, it ain't just about
anyone cap, English well, in the Premier League.
To be fair, you look at Darius Vassell and blimmin' Ricketts got caps for England. And there's times when people were just getting caps for fun. They were giving them out like confetti. But Neil Audley, do you remember the season when we beat Chelsea 4-2 and he scores from about 30 yards out?
Yeah, when went straight down the middle and the keeper slipped. Yeah, we all know that one. Yeah, we were all there.
Yeah, but he was absolutely running rings around people at that time.
Neil Audley's not going to play for England, Lee. Come on, keep the credibility here.
So you're not having Dean Blackwell or Neil Audley?
No,
right.
Absolutely not.
The viewers will say if they think them too.
The other one who should definitely have played for England was Robbie Earl, and we all know it, but he went to Jamaica first, and we all know that's true.
No, he didn't go to Jamaica first. He was waiting for an England.
That was the shambles.
He was the last
Earl
man.
The shambles.
He was the one I was going to finish with because he was the, I think he's Wimbledon's best ever player.
I'm finding it hard to disagree with you.
If you'd never watched Robbie Earl, I feel sorry for you, really, because he was, again, he wasn't tall, but he just, yeah, how he never went to an absolute huge club is beyond me. You think now, I think he's probably, would you have him on, who would you compare him to nowadays? N'Golo Conte? I think Conte's better.
He's probably a bit more attacking than that.
Yeah, he scored goals.
He scores goals. He was quite heady.
Mate, his header against Man U was unbelievable.
He's not a flairy, but he's
He was waiting to be capped for England. It never come, and then he got the chance to then go to the World Cup with Jamaica, and he said, yeah, and he went and played 8 times for Jamaica, and a lot of them were in that World Cup when he went, and I think he scored their first ever goal in the World Cup.
He did, Croatia, header.
Yeah, so
I remember watching that in my mum and dad's room going absolutely potty.
I can take on the chin Dean Blackwell and Neil Audley, but yeah, Robbie Earl, Chris Perry should have 100% played for England at that time. And this one, right, I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one.
If you say Peter Fear, I'm going home.
Yeah. Peter Fear and Stuart Carstein should have been in the centre midfield for England. This one, he ended up playing for Wales, but he actually was England under 21 player.
Right.
And he ended up only playing 7 times for Wales, which has shocked me that he only played 7 times for Wales.
Right.
Ben Thatcher.
Yeah, good player.
How he only played 7 games for Wales?
He was a fan. I really like Thatcher. I know you're a big Kimball fan, but I thought when we got Thatcher, I thought he was fantastic. I thought he was a very, very good, typical Wimbledon kind of signing. Bit of a lunatic. The whole elbow of Summerby was pretty rough, but he was a proper footballer, wasn't he?
You imagine him getting away with that now. Did he even get booked? Did he get sent off?
He got sent off for that day, I think.
He did get sent off.
He got sent off, he got sent off retrospectively.
Yeah, I don't even think anything happened.
It's his face, when you see his face, like, I'm going to do you.
Really nice guy, though. He's not like that off the pitch. But, he only played 7 times for Wales. Do you reckon that's because of that anger issue that he had?
Not sure. I mean, I know they had Paul Bowden at left back at that time, who was a really solid Swindon guy who played a lot. But remember at the same time, though, Lee, 7 games... That's for Wales. That's over at least a year, maybe even a year and a half.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
No, it's not a lot. But to be the first choice left back for a year and a half is a pretty good effort.
No, I'm not. I mean, I think he should
it's
have
not,
been playing.
There's no tournament football. It's not like now where you've got double games and triple games and stuff.
Yeah, and
it's
Wales never qualified for tournaments back then, to be fair. They never even got close. But
you're talking about over the course of probably been picked in squads for 2 years or so.
And talk about another player that played for a country. He played for Scotland. And we were talking about earlier, you weren't overly keen on him. But Brian McAllister,
yeah,
he only got 3 caps for Scotland. And he went for a season when he was probably one of our best centre-backs at that time.
Yeah,
probably one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League at that time.
He was decent. But
he had one good season, I'll give you that. But he should have played for a game.
I mean, I don't know who might have been around. But if you think about people like Colin Hendry, Blackburn, he was a monster.
Blackburn, they won the league. So probably,
he'd have been busy in that. Richard Gough, obviously Rangers legend, as you know.
He wasn't Scottish, was he?
Richard Gough. I'm sure he played for Scotland. I could be going. Am I going mad? I'm sure he was Scottish.
I thought he was Australian.
I thought he played. Richard Gough played against England in the Euros. We are not fact checking ourselves, are we?
He was actually born in Sweden.
He's a Scottish professional footballer.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Played for Scotland 61 times. I fact checked. I'm sorted. You need to sort your life out.
Oh, and I like Rangers. And
on a slightly different note, Lee, AFC Wimbledon internationals. Who's on your list? I've got Kwezi Appiah. He's never been Appiah.
Was he at Wimbledon when he played for Ghana?
I don't know, but he played.
I think he played for Ghana. He played for Ghana just before he signed for Wimbledon.
Played for Reading, didn't he? He was there, but he's an international. Shane Smeltz.
Shane Smeltz, man, what an international!
I think he
was
the first international we had, wasn't he?
Yeah, and what a player Shane Smeltz was, man, at that time. We're in that league.
Montserrat.
We spoke
about Darius earlier.
Yep.
Grenada wanted to get him twice, but he said no twice. That's him. Nick Zanib, obviously. And I was sure, and this is a bit out of left field, Jermaine Darlington, I think, might have played international football. I'll let Lee check if it's a pointless answer. I don't know. Have we had any other? Neil Sullivan?
Sully, I was going to say Sully. He was a very good international. If we're talking about the players that were very good internationals, then
talking about anyone who's played international football and have played for AFC Wimbledon.
Jermaine Donnett has never played international football, mate. So, unfortunately,
I'll take it off the list.
But yeah,
is there anyone else who's played international football? John Meads was under Wales. 21 for Wales
under 21. We've got that geezer in the youth team at the moment, who's at the Welsh under 20s, under 21s, yeah. Morgan. He's meant to be a good prospect.
Jarkko Oksanen, he was on. Oh no, Mikel Fors, was he in that? Did he play in? It's a bit vague, isn't it? I don't think he's played.
Not having him, mate. He ain't our player. He's on loan. You can't have people on loan. I don't think he played for Holland when he was with us, mate. I don't think he was getting near the Holland team.
I'm just saying overseas players.
You're just saying people with foreign names, man.
I think anyone's played for Gibraltar.
I've still got two more to go on my list, though.
Well,
back to that.
Well, let's do it then. Let's have it.
I've got Warren Barton. Only played 3 times for England.
Really?
Only played 3 times for
what
England.
What years was he then?
I don't know. I didn't look that much into it.
I reckon he was just around before 96 because Gary Neville came and that was that.
I don't think he played for England when he was with us. Thing is, he left us in 95. He played for England in 95.
That happened so many times, though. Scales was the same.
I think it was at Newcastle when he played for England.
Scales was the same. Never had a chance playing for England. Left us, went to Liverpool, got a game for England. It's like, you're a shame.
But that's my list. That's the players I think should have played for England or their country more than they did. Chris Perry and I think Robbie Earle were the big ones for me. I think at that time they were I used to ring up Capital. You remember Capital Sport?
I do remember. Jonathan Pearce.
And I had a couple of conversations with him on that about Chris Perry playing for England, and he agreed with
Rash.
Yeah, I think he should have played. Him and what's his name? Robbie Earle, are two that should have definitely played for England before.
I think they're, for me, they're the big two where when you look back at that group, I know they were a decent bunch, but Robbie Earle and Chris Perry, you thought every time that the squad came out, you always saw a player on that squad and went, come on, mate. Come on. Steve Howe is not as good as Chris Perry.
Steve Howe, yeah.
Come on, mate. Yeah. David Batty. swap him over from Robbie Earl.
How did David Bay get in England? Sorry, before Robbie like, Earl? And hey, people will say, well, we chose Andy Simpson, make up.
Off your pop, son. You're not going to play.
He got so fed up with waiting for England that the World Cup chance came, and that's when he chose to play for Jamaica in the World Cup.
You know what? Good luck to him.
Yep, fair play. What about Cole Court and Jason Yule? Having them near England? No, near it.
No, but I think they are too... Well, Jason Yule was good. My dad actually jinxed Cole Court. And my dad jinxed him, and he basically was like, be a link with Newcastle. And my dad was like, if he goes to Newcastle, when we've been relegated, I'm going to jinx him. And my dad jinxed him, and he got injured, and he's barely played ever since. But he's international for someone daft.
No, I think it was like just England.
Guyana.
Under-21s, I think.
No, I'm pretty sure, because Leon Court plays international, and they're brothers, and I'm pretty sure I saw Leon Court. I was on a plane once, bizarrely, coming from the Caribbean.
Guyana.
I saw Kenwyn Jones, Carlos Edwards for Trinidad and Tobago coming back. And I'm pretty sure they played.
Guyana
played for someone. Guyana.
Yeah, six times he played for Guyana.
Right. So what we are saying is that Baker is the oracle.
But if we're talking about international players that done very well internationally, but also played for Wimbledon, I was saying this to you earlier. Kenny Cunningham.
Yeah.
He played like 89 times for Ireland.
Yeah.
And what a player he was as well for us. Michael Hughes. Yeah. 70 odd times for Northern Ireland.
Fantastic.
What a wizard. He was another one I think played for England at under 20s, but I don't think he didn't play anything else.
Nigeria, crikey.
I know three times for Nigeria. I think it's only three.
How many?
I think it's only five or six for Nigeria. Six times he played for Nigeria.
I thought you might have been a bit higher than that.
Yeah, I thought, but again, there weren't much football back in them days, as you said earlier.
I thought Neil Sullivan did a good job at Scotland.
Born in Sutton, played for Scotland.
Yeah, I think he done a pretty good job.
Herman Ryderson at Iceland, he played a lot of times when it was unfashionable play for Iceland.
Yeah, he was quite a decent little footballer.
We had Norwegians.
Big fat Johnny Hartson,
Welsh.
We didn't get the best out of him, but...
Billy Jones.
He only played two or three. I mean, he was lucky to get called up full stop, but the fact that I think he only played two or three games, but one of them was captain against Germany.
I think they called up Billy Jones more for his profile than his actual ability at that time, because they had Savage and him in the midfield. Was never going to get him a tournament, was it?
No.
So, but yeah, I think if you look back at some of our international, we had some really good international players. That, and again, I think they're...
Ian Arson, another one.
Leo, what a player he was, man. I think everyone thinks, Wimbledon, do you know what I mean? They didn't really have anything. Like, again, them Arsenal stupid TV the other day were saying, they're nobodies. You look back at Wimbledon FC and some of the players that we had, like, they were just, big.
Well, we knew that, but a lot of other teams didn't, did they? Because we were unfashionable. No one gave a monkey's about.
You think Robbie L today, what's he going for? Chris Perry today, what are they going for? Even Neil Sullivan, what are they going for? Big money.
They would be relatively good money, yeah.
Yeah, it's just madness to me. But, right, there you go. That's it. If you think the players I've mentioned should not have gone near England, like Neil Ardley's and Dean Blackwell's, or you agree with me and you think they should have done, then let us know. If you've got any more that you think. Another one, sorry, quickly. Yeah, just let us know. Another one who would have gone on to play for England.
Lionel
Morgan. Mate. One of the best players I think I've ever seen
play. The game when he played at home at Tottenham, I think he scored and we were like, oh my God, this boy is mustard.
When he come on against Liverpool and he absolutely tore him a new one. And I was like, wow. I think he would have been better than Messi and Ronaldo. But
wow, you've heard it here first.
Anyway, let us know. Is there any players that played for Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon, that you think, should have played international football and or they should have played more times for their country? Let us know. Anyway, we'll come back last but not really least. Dan has an honest question for us. Is that all right, Dan?
Or two.
All right. See you in a bit.
The Wombles had a dream podcast by the fans for the fans.
We're back and Dan has honest questions. So I'm looking forward to this.
Okay, I've got two questions. Okay. One of them is quite to the core, being blunt. One's more softer, Which one would you rather first?
Don't mind, mate, you know me.
No, you've got to decide.
I'll have the soft one first and then we'll go blunt after.
Perfect. Soft one. We haven't been on the terraces for a couple of years. And I feel that we're missing some chance. Like we're missing player chance. Over the years, what has been your favourite Wimbledon chant? And what has been your favourite player of Wimbledon chant?
So we discussed this on an earlier podcast, to be fair, when we first started the pod.
I'd love to hear.
Our five favourite chants. And one of my favourite ones was, remember the Mikey T one? He obviously don't stand on the terraces anymore, come, and it was everywhere we go.
Okay.
Everywhere we go.
And you follow it, yeah.
And you just sing that for about 45 minutes, especially when you're up north and it was boring. The best ever Wimbledon chant by Country Mile, I think, I don't know if I changed my mind on this, so I have to listen back. But the Champagne song.
Yeah.
Some people can't stand it because it's got some rude lyrics in it. But I think it's original.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else sings it. And yeah, it's just brilliant. It's a great chant. I love it, especially when we go away. I think it's the best chant that we have. And again, some people have tried to cancel it in the cancel culture that we live in now because it has a few bad language in it. Yeah, that or the Wombles Had a Dream. Obviously, that's a good one.
That was good. I think for me, having Wally's at the wheel, that was fantastic. Everyone going mental. But I love the FA Cup. She wore a yellow ribbon.
No, I like that one. Yeah,
that is really, really good. I always get up to that. And I love on a corner. And it sounds a bit weird. Only on a corner, I do like a bit of ole 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 Wombles, Wombles.
Yeah.
But what is funny is the chance that fans clearly have no idea what people talk about. So, for instance, when they do, and I just can't seem to get enough of, and they start saying the words in the middle, no one has a cut. They just kind of mumble along. and then everyone else just starts joining in when everyone just goes, and I just can't seem to get enough of. And before that, no one's got an idea what's being said. I absolutely love that. Where all the fans are like, come on, mate, hurry up, let's get to the bit. Well, I know this bit.
Yeah, but that's like two times out of non-league, isn't it?
That's it. No one's got an idea. There's also another one. Even now, when I'm like, I have no idea.
So I love that two times out of non-league. Wally's at the wheel. I loved, obviously, because everyone went mental. But I just don't like the fact that we just stole it straight from. I like original chants. There is a new chant that's going to be sung through. I don't know if it was sung against Burton. But it will be out soon. I'm trying to find. I don't think I'm going to find it, but it's very, very good.
I reckon there's a Don songbook.
It's very good.
Right, we should do it. Do you know, we should do it for Christmas. Yes, we should do like a Don's sort of songbook, and we'll sell it and we'll donate money to charity. What do you reckon? There's loads of fans who I think genuinely would like. How do the songs work? We could do it.
That'll pay off the loan. That'll pay off the bridging loan.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
So what about the club players? I always like the funny player songs. My favourite one of late is Dwayne Plummer. Do you remember him? Dwayne Plummer, he gets in midfield gaps and then he'll fix your taps. Dwayne Plummer.
It was number four. Who's the number four we had at AFC Wimbledon? We had a player, number four, Lee, and it was a really good song. Went on for ages. Aya Bassel, I love that song at the moment. That's a good one.
What about Come On Ladies, Kevin St. Lou's?
I don't think that was a good song, to be fair. Especially with his history.
Callum Bailey fan?
Yeah, I do like the Callum Bailey song. Yeah. Even away, I'm the biggest fan of Callum Bailey. But player songs are really normally pretty shit, aren't they, really? They're only like
five or six different ones and you kind of go around it.
Yeah. I did like Gel Will Tell You Us Apart Again.
That was good.
Like that one. Dwayne Lee. It's Dwayne Lee. It was Dwayne Lee. I swear it was Dwayne Lee.
Dwayne Lee.
No, that Dwayne it was Lee. It was about him. It's about him being number four, Wimbledon number four. It was really, really good. He loved it as well. Because normally you get one Mickey as well. There's only kind of one.
Like number one is Gary
Elkins. Number two. We all live in a Gary. Yep, legend.
I quite like Jester doing his Sully song back at Sellhurst. That was good. one man, silly hat, on his own, screaming his heart out. Always clapping for that.
But yeah, player ones, we haven't really got any decent ones at the moment, have we?
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe we need to come up with some brand new ones.
Yeah.
For some of the new guard, because he's one of our own for everything like Hartigan, Nightingale. It's all right, but
I'll get the boys on, because that's why this is called the One Was Had a Dream podcast, because it was a couple of my mates who actually started the song, made it up, and away we went with it. And it's
that's what we need
to get some better player ones. Come on, let's offer it out to people. And they can't be shit. They've got to go for us first, to be fair.
I reckon what we should do is we should do that, and then maybe, obviously, the book deal, I'll have to speak to my sponsor and my agent. But I reckon Christmas we could get some handouts, and at half time we'll practice it, and then we'll be like caveat out of the corner. If we are 1-0 up, if we have a corner, if it's taken by Hartigan, sing this song.
Do you know one I hate? The one I hate is when they've stole it from St. Pauli and the corner, and people put their keys up in here. Hate that. But I do like the old. That was always good.
That got quite
the chief. But we need a player. We need Ollie Palmer needs a song, to be fair to him.
Well, he's got the Women of Number 9.
Not having that.
Which I thought Kedwell's was quite good.
Yeah, I like Danny Kedwell's. But Woodyard
Henry Lawrence, I think we should focus on a player like Henry Lawrence, whose quality, and not he used to play for Scum and now he's Wimbledon. Henry Lawrence, proper.
Woodyard needs a song.
Intelligent people listening to this, obviously, because
It's the market we're aimed at.
I think Henry Lawrence needs a good song.
Woodyard.
Yeah.
Zanev needs a song, but not just New Zealand's number one. Yeah.
He's only one Kiwi, one ball.
I agree.
A really good pop song that we can turn into it. So Woodyard, Zanev, Lawrence.
Yeah.
And maybe Presley.
Maybe.
Which I know you'd go for Elvis, but those four players, anyone comes up with a good tune, we'll back it, we'll endorse it, and we'll practice it.
Yes, agreed.
Before Christmas.
Done.
Right. Easy question, hard question. You ready for this? This is a tough one. And a mate of mine asked me this question at work, and I'm not going to tell you the answer until I've got yours.
Oh, what? The Shrewsbury School?
No, not quite. Is it better to support Wimbledon or AFC Wimbledon? And what do you prefer? What deep down, which team have you got in a better headspace to support, Wimbledon or AFC Wimbledon? There we are. That's the honest question. It's a pretty brutal one, but I got asked it today and I thought I'm going to ask it to you.
What did I prefer?
If they said Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon, you can go to any game once, but you're going to go and watch that team, which team would you want to watch? The Wimbledon team?
Yep.
And get into that, or AFC? But also, and it's difficult for us, Lee, by the way, on our generation, because when we're 15, football is the entire world. And we were watching Wimbledon then, and now is AFC. But I'm just curious which of the two facets of the club that we've kind of watched the last 30 years, have you preferred watching, or do you take more pride in supporting?
That is a tough question. I'll give you that one. That is tough. But Wimbledon FC for me. Okay. Loved it. Loved every minute of watching Wimbledon when I first started. I was 15, so I was quite a late developer into going to watch Wimbledon, and it came because of family breakdown, really. So I ended up getting away from the house to go watch Wimbledon. Met some of my best mates, but some of the teams, again, we spoke about some of the players of Wimbledon FC. Some of them players watching Leonardson smash goals and going up to Liverpool and beating them, and going all across the country as little old Wimbledon, and thinking, yeah, we can go anywhere we want. And to be fair, at that time is when football was better. So I don't know if it's because I would want to watch Wimbledon now in the Premier League, because I think it's shit now. Premier League football and modern football. I hate everything about modern football. I love the fact that we used to play against people like Julian Dix, Neil Ruddocks, used to be able to give Tony Cotty stick on the sideline. And when he scored, he'd come over and give it back to you. No one got offended. Used to be able to go out, get drunk, and not worry that people were going to take pictures of you falling asleep on the floor and stuff. Where now you've got all the camera phones out and stuff like that. Do you get what I mean by that kind of thing? Not going out and causing trouble, but just being lads, which nowadays you can't really be. Don't get me wrong, I love the rise of AFC Wimbledon. I don't think I could do it again. I love the non-league days. I love going to Sandhurst. I love going to Cove, Ash, all these shithole places and watching Wimbledon play and go for the leagues and get into the conference was, yeah, that we're playing Luton now. I struggled with football a couple of seasons.
Do you really think a lot of the challenges sometimes, Lee, with Wimbledon fans, is that, and AFC Wimbledon fans obviously now, that a lot of them are thinking, I want to get back to where Wimbledon was, i.e. the Premier League. And then they feel that the journey's fully finished when we do that.
No, I don't think that is the case. I think the journey finished once we went back to Plough Lane. And I think that's the thing now. We're back at Plough Lane. I never want to get into the Premier League. I said that to Robbo. I said that to anyone who would listen, really. I've watched Premier League football. The other day, it was quite a good game against Met, but most of the time, it's fucking awful. Burnley's and things like that. No disrespect to them, they're doing well. But my problem with football at the moment, Danny, is the amount of money that gets through football.
Yeah.
So you think we were watching, again, Robbie Earls, Chris Perry's and things like that. They were coming to Wimbledon, training on hard courts, wanting to be professional footballers. The YTS schemes back in them days where you had to clean footballers' boots and be on 75 quid a week and live in digs to become a professional footballer.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you've got kids in Arsenal youth team earning more than probably our whole squad. And they'll never play a first team game for Arsenal. You know, McCormick was probably more at Chelsea than our top earner was probably playing in the Championship when we were Wimbledon FC. Do you know what I mean? And it just blows my mind, the money that goes around in League One. Look at League Two at the moment. You've got Salfords and things like that paying $5, $6, $7 grand a week. We're probably paying players about $3 grand a week. And that's probably $3 grand too much. And I look at our squad now, and as much as I love the way we're playing and stuff, I look at them and think, there's no heroes here for me. There's no... Do you get what I mean? Like if a player, like when Piggott left, not too bothered. See you later, mate. I'll see you in Maidstone in 2 years.
But is that, Lee, because of the fact that when we were younger, watching Wimbledon, it's skew if because you're 15, 17, 18, or whatever. When you were 15, watching Vinny or doing something, it was like, oh, my God, you'd go to college or go to school and it would be surround. I just used to remember when I was a kid going to watch Wimbledon, and anyone who went to my school will tell you, and I had Wimbledon fans, we won, I'd walk in, I'd be at school at 7 o'clock waiting outside with my Wimbledon scarf on, waiting to mug people off. If we lost to Palace, knowing there was 25 Palace fans in there, I'd be looking at where I knew I'd walk in with my scarf on, getting mullered. And it was just like there was so much on it because I'd walked, if when we had Arsenal, say at home, the PE teacher, Monday morning, Arsenal fan, if Wimbledon won, I would turn up to PE and I would literally take the detention just to wear my Wimbledon shirt and not take it off, just so I could mug him off. If Arsenal won, he'd have a scarf and poking at me. But there was so much on it. Whereas now, Wimbledon lose to Luton or, you know, Plymouth, there's no accountability as such. You've got the internet, but there's no, like, personal gratification. Like Tottenham Arsenal, an Arsenal fan walks into a restaurant and it's like, we beat you, and you get that mugging off. We don't get that now.
Yeah, I agree. When I grew up in Essex, so I was surrounded by West Ham, Arsenal, Chelsea fans, Liverpool, Man U. So when we beat West Ham, I'd bowl in and give them a load of stick. When we signed John Artsman for $9.5 million, I was standing there proud as punch with the newspaper in my hand and couldn't take my eye off it. It was big news back then. We'd never spent a penny on a player, pretty much. We were going into the realms of big boys then.
That day was mad though, Lee, wasn't it? Yeah. When we looked at, we spent that much on the Hearts, and everyone went, what?
It was the back page of the Sun.
Even the news were like, Wimbledon spent loads of money on an action. And I thought he was going to be spectacular for us. I thought he was exactly what we needed. It wasn't quite work, but that's what killed football.
Because the Norwegians were shed loads. They could have pumped millions in. I bet they're kicking themselves. I bet they look at it now and think, look at the money that Abramovich and the Man City guys are spending now. We could have spent money and become a big club and done loads of stuff, because you look at it now, it's all massive money.
They're sitting around a table and going, Wally Badir, what have we been doing?
But then I love people like Wally, but I really do miss the Wimbledon day. I just don't think we have them like it anymore for me. I think that's more to do with modern football than it is to do with AFC Wimbledon and Wimbledon FC. Okay. Because I used to go up to Grimsby on a Tuesday night. You'd pay hardly anything on the train. It's just mental. You want to get a train to Sunderland 2 weeks from now, you've got to pay 200 quid. Do you know what I mean? Everything has to be advanced and everything nowadays. And it's just mad. I think it's just a mad world we live in. Social media makes sport not as enjoyable anymore. Do you know what I mean? People, it's so out of context and everything like that. So, yeah, I'd love to go back and, yeah, Wimbledon FC again and go all across the country watching the likes of Robbie L, Efana Kuku. The only one player, there's one player at AFC, two players, sorry, that I've been upset have left. Danny Kedwell, but I kind of understood the reasons why he did leave.
Yeah.
Went to Gillingham. And Lyle Taylor. When Lyle Taylor went, because he was someone to me that really got the Wimbledon story, that go against them when he goes mental. The rest of them nowadays, like, I'm not being rude, at the end of the season, if we lost five players, we get another five. And that's what I don't, that's, I think, what Robbo is trying to get back at AFC Wimbledon with the kids. That these boys have been with us since they were 12 and they love Wimbledon. I just think maybe I'm just an old man now and I'm just a moany old bastard.
I didn't want to say anything.
As you said, I would say 17, 18.
That was an honest question. That was quite a blunt one.
Yeah, cheers for that, Dan.
I've dodged it, so I'm happy with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, sorry, mate. I've droned on for too long.
No, I think we've run out of time, mate. I'm going to have to dodge it, I think.
You can quickly answer if you want, mate, but we are struggling a bit.
I would say I like watching AFC Wimbledon. I love the story, but watching the old Wimbledon was, I think that's a lot down to the difference of me being younger watching Wimbledon. But I do really, I guess it's the reasons why you go. When I was younger, I used to go to football because I'd love watching Wimbledon and the game and it's exciting. Whereas now, I treasure it because I spend time with my dad and my mates who I don't see very often. So I think I've got a slightly different slant on it. I think they've both got their values. I think, yeah, that's a really... I think at the moment, just slightly, I think, would be Wimbledon. But AFC Wimbledon with the story, plus going and watch it with my dad, and the whole community feel, I think, is a really special place. But whether I'd go as mental watching Wimbledon or AFC Wimbledon, I don't know. I'm ever going to go as mental as the Marcus Gayle going a cup against Man United. I don't think I'm ever going to go as mad as that. Although the MK game in the cup, Midson's header, that was pandemonium.
Yeah, but that was more to do with what that was about.
Yeah, I guess. And if you put it that way, then I think
I think you've hit the nail on the head with Wimbledon. I went 5 years without missing a game, home and away. Yeah. 5 years at Wimbledon FC. When nowadays, not unfortunately, but I've got family. I live in Southend.
I think that might be it. Yeah.
I can't go to every game as much as I'd love to go. Burton away, Morecambe away. I just can't do it now, unfortunately. Yeah. And when I was 18, 19, I could go out on the lash for the whole weekend, spend my week's wages going to watch Wimbledon. Where now I've got rent to pay. Do you know what I mean? It's a totally different life. And good luck to the people now who are Wimbledon fans who are 18, 19, and they're probably loving it as much as we did when we were there. And then we'll get to a point when we'll say to them, what did you prefer? The year Ollie Palmer scored the goal or now that Joe Bloggs is playing? But yeah, no, good question, that Dan. Good question, but I've got to wrap it up, mate, because we have waffled on. And thanks very much for joining me tonight, Danny. Enjoy the international break.
I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go for a beerio in a minute.
Nice. Cheers, pal.
Tally-ho.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Wombles Dream and on Facebook at The Wombles Had in Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.